Welcome to the Daily Tour Podcast, brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast, Bicycle.net, and Fredcast Tours. This daily summary of the 2008 Amgen Tour of California will be presented soon after the conclusion of each day's racing so that you can stay up to date on this important annual cycling event. The Daily Tour is sponsored by Fredcast Tours. Fredcast Tours is the perfect companion to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast and this Daily Tour summary. This year, we'll be riding from Salzburg, Austria to Venice, Italy, climbing the Dolomites and traversing some of the famous Giro d'Italia routes. The trip takes place June 25th through July 4th, 2008. Come along with us, take in the scenery, taste the local delicacies, become steeped in the cultures, but most of all, enjoy the ride. Visit www.fredcasttours.com for more information. And now, today's Daily Tour Podcast, presented by the Fredcast, powered by the resources of Bicycle.net, and brought to you by Fredcast Tours. Welcome back to our week-long coverage of the 2008 Amgen Tour of California. This is David Bernstein from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast, and this show is powered by the resources of Bicycle.net. Well, today is Sunday, February the 24th, and it is time for the final stage of the 2008 Amgen Tour of California. It's Stage 7 from Santa Clarita to Pasadena, California. Today's stage is 93.4 miles, 150.2 kilometers. Along the way, there are two individual time bonuses, also known as sprint bonuses. There's one in Acton, California, and then one just as the riders enter the first of five finishing circuits at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. Along the way, the riders will begin at 1,200 feet elevation and then climb up about 5,000 feet to Mill Creek Summit in the middle of the Angeles National Forest as they make their way to Pasadena and the finish of this year's Tour of California. Well, as we have done every single day for the last 7 or 8 days as we've traveled from Palo Alto all the way down here to Pasadena, California, we did get a number of pre-race interviews. We're going to bring those to you now. But first, just wanted to recap where we are in our jerseys going into today's race. Well, of course, sitting in the yellow, the golden leader's jersey of the 2008 Amgen Tour of California, it is Levi Leipheimer from Team Astana. He's followed 49 seconds back by David Miller. In the green sprint jersey, Dominique Rolland. In the King of the Mountains jersey, it's Scott Nydam, and it looks like no one will be able to take that jersey off of his back today. The best young rider is Robert Gesink. So let's talk about those first pre-race interviews before we get into the recap of today's final stage. Well, first, you'll remember that yesterday, Mark Cavendish was the first across the line in Stage 6 in Santa Clarita, yet he was not awarded the stage win. The reason for that was, well, according to the UCI rules, it's, quote, sheltering behind or falling into the slipstream of a vehicle. And as a result, he got a 20-second penalty for the stage and a fine of 50 Swiss francs. Now, he wasn't the only one who was so fined yesterday. Mario Cipollini of Rock Racing also got a similar fine, but of course, he wasn't the first one across the line at the end of the day. There were other fines given out yesterday just as a point of interest for sheltering behind or falling into the slipstream of a vehicle. That brought down a fine of 200 Swiss francs to Brian Holm from Team High Road and to Mariano Friedrich from Rock Racing. Well, we did have the opportunity to catch up with Mark Cavendish today to find out what his thoughts were on that fine.
Yeah, you know, completely upset, especially after the work that the team did all day, you know, to bring the break back and then to leave me out at the end. You know, it was all gone to waste, really. So.
We also asked Mark how the crash happened that caused him to have to use the vehicle to get back into the peloton.
It was just normal, just a touch of wheels, you know. Don't know who's cut in front of me, but it just happens, you know. You don't have time to see what's going on. You're down on the deck, really. It was just, you know, a wide road and a narrow road. There's a touch of wheels, down you go. It's normal in bike racing, yeah. You know. So.
We also talked to Bob Stapleton to find out whether he and Team High Road filed a protest as a result of yesterday's decision.
No, we didn't. I'm not sure exactly what the complaint was, but, you know, we're racing today. That's water under the bridge in the rearview mirror. Mark, I think he rode a great race. Really impressed with what he did. He's clearly the strongest guy at the line. The last we saw him, it wasn't clear he was even going to get back in. So when we heard, High Road winning, we thought, well, must have been Gerald, who was right there also. So that was just impressive he could do that. So he gets full credit, certainly within the team, for, I think, just a really gutsy performance.
And so for a lot of people, since it wasn't entirely clear what had happened, we asked Bob, what was it that you saw of the crash in the back?
When we came up on the scene, he was back on his bike, and Freddie was down and Chippo was down. And then there was some problem with Freddie's bike after that. So Chippo took off before Mark. Mark was hot on his heels, and then I think Freddie had more mechanical issues. So we didn't see what happened, but it looked like once the speed of the pack got so high, guys were shooting out the back right and left, and I think they were coming up fast from the back, and they wound up kind of coming into slower riders that were dropping off to the sides. So I think the mix of traffic caused a little pileup, which happens all the time.
Now, at the time of the interview, the weather was looking very menacing, and there were some rumors that up at the top of Mill Creek Summit there were some flurries. We wanted to know what that would do for their strategy.
We're completely we're completely focused on a sprint finish. We've only got one kind of GC rider left. I mean, Kim's out. We're down to one guy. So I think for us, we're going to sit in and hope that Quickstep, Rabobank, others generate have the goals of a sprint finish, and we try and come in and take it.
Now, I know we haven't recapped today's race yet, but we caught up with Fast Freddy Rodriguez. We wanted to get his take on yesterday's crash with Mark Cavendish, and we got a little bit more than we bargained for. Listen in to this.
Oh, you mean today's crash or yesterday's crash? Two
yesterday's
crashes.
You went down today too?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, that was today. It was probably, I'm upset at Cavendish for yesterday's crash. Cavendish, we had a couple words today, and, he's like, hey, why are you upset at me? I'm like, hey, listen, somebody has to be at blame, and, the way I see it, you're the one who caused the crash, and, I know you don't want to take yourself out, but somebody has to take the blame, and it's you, and I'm upset. Last year I almost won the stage and I almost crashed. Today I really wanted to win the stage yesterday, and then you take me out. Of course I'm going to be upset. Of course I'm going to be pissed at you. I got to be pissed at somebody, and you're the one who crashed us. And he didn't understand it. I said, hey, listen, I'm upset. Take it for what it is. I'm not going to get over it now, and that's it.
So at this point, we're a little bit confused. Yesterday's crash, today's crash. We didn't see a crash on the TV today. What happened?
Today is basically just complete negligence of the organization, missing Medalist Sports, completely missed. We had a tunnel, completely pitch black. I mean, that's against the rules. They're opening themselves up for lawsuits. I mean, this should not happen in our sport at this level. And basically went to this tunnel and pitch black, and we all crashed.
Now, saying we, it sounded like there were quite a few people. How many people was it, Freddie, that went down?
It was about 10 to 15 guys.
Okay, so news to us, perhaps news to you, even if you watched the coverage live on TV today or if you watched it on cycling.tv or on the Amgen website or on the Versus coverage, not sure you saw that covered. I wonder if we'll be hearing more about that in the days and weeks to come. Well, getting away from controversy a little bit, we thought that we would get with Levi Leipheimer's team and find out from his guys what the plans were for today for protecting Levi and the team and their lead for the golden jersey. So first, we spoke with teammate Chris Horner. First question for Chris, what do you expect from David Miller, and what are you planning on doing to keep him in check?
Well, the team's just got to ride tempo and not let Miller get up the road in any kind of dangerous move and keep it together for the finish and bring Levi in safely.
There was a lot of pre-race buzz today that there would be some early breaks trying to take off and crack Levi Leipheimer and Team Astana. So we wanted to know from Chris, what does his team do to control situations like that?
You just patrol them. Levi covers them or I cover them, and we shut them down, and the team brings them back with the guys that are all riding strong, so they bring back whatever break we don't want to be out there, and then After we bring that back, we wait for the rest.
After we talked to Chris, we thought we'd catch up with Chechu Ribeira because Levi is constantly talking about Ribeira in his press conferences and saying how impressed he is with his riding. So we wanted to know from Chechu what the team's plans were for the day.
Well, I think you should ask Ekimov that he's the director, but in my opinion, we should try to control those guys who are not far in the overall, in the hills and in the climbs, and the rest, if the break goes, is good for us, as far as they are not a really big group. And in the final, we can get some help from the sprinters teams. So the last maybe 50Ks and in the downhill, we will have some extra help from those guys. And hopefully, yes, the weather will be bad and we'll do the race harder. And let's hope that nothing happens and Levi can get the victory.
Finally, we wanted to know, after a week of racing, just how tired does a professional cyclist get?
Good, I'm quite tired. It was a tough race, and the weather also did it harder. And we had to control almost from the first day. And I think the whole team is quite tired right now. And let's see if today we can do the last effort and he wins, we'll be perfect.
We also had the opportunity to speak with Scott Nightum from BMC. As you know, Scott has had an amazing race. BMC has been extremely aggressive and very surprising in this Amgen Tour of California. Scott is comfortable in his King of the Mountains jersey. Nobody could get that off of him today. There just simply were not enough points to surpass the lead that he has.
Strategy today is to probably not build so much on what we've keep building, but just to sustain what we've already accomplished. I'm sitting in a good spot as long as I finish today within the time cut. King of the Mountain jersey, and Alex Mose is sitting in a top 10 GC position. So really, those are we would have been happy probably with one of those outcomes, and now we got two. So.
Now, as I said a moment ago, BMC really has been a surprise to a lot of fans in this year's tour. So we wanted to know, you know, Scott, surprise to us probably isn't a surprise to you, is it?
You know, it was a hope and an expectation of ours. There's been an incredible amount of work behind the scenes, and the enthusiasm that's coming all the way from Switzerland with BMC and ASOS and what they're trying to create as far as cycling. I mean, we're unique in that we're sponsored by a bicycle company and a bicycle clothing company. And our job is to promote the enthusiasm for cycling. So so that's pretty easily done in races when you're aggressive. It's our job to be aggressive, and that's just what we came here to California to do. Management, directors have all been working incredibly hard. The mechanics of Swan Yers, if you turned things inside out in BMC, it would all look good on the inside just as it does on the outside. So we're happy with getting what we were hoping to come here to get.
You know, one of the things you always hear the TV commentators talk about as we look at a breakaway and a rider leaving the peloton is they're always talking about that the rider is trying to give their sponsor good camera time. But it seemed to us that this year BMC was looking for more.
Yeah, I think we tried to just sort of set a high standard at camp. We were very efficient in everything we did, very intentional in the hard work we did and the rest we did. So I think we've tried to break ourselves into a new realm where we're going beyond just the camera time expectation of what it means to ride a good race. But what it means to ride a good race is to be effective within the race, not just go on a flyer and get your name on this TV screen, but to actually be part of the race and be here and mix it in with the guys that we'll probably see over in Europe later this season.
And then we had the opportunity to speak with Mike Creed from Rock Racing. We talked to him before the race, and when we talk about the race recap, you're going to understand why it was so fortuitous that we had the opportunity to do this interview. And first, we just wanted to know a little bit again about yesterday's crash and how Freddie and Chipo were feeling.
Yeah, he's pretty banged up. He's got a huge hematoma on his calf, so he might not finish the day. Don't know what happened. I was behind the guys, and from what Freddie said, he said Cavendish caused the crash. Didn't have anywhere to go. We all kind of piled into each other.
Now, at the finish line yesterday in Santa Clarita, people were really hoping that Cipollini was going to win the stage, and he really seemed to be set up just right until the crash happened. We wanted to know how the team felt about that.
Yeah, but, you know, he's been racing a long time, so he kind of knows that there's going to be a race next day, you know? So, like, all that disappointment, it's pretty short-lived.
And more apropos to how things worked out today, we wanted to know how Mike was feeling this morning.
Yeah, I'm tired, I think, like everybody else, but I'm really anxious to race at the same time. So I was kind of worried that they would cut out the mountain today and that we'd just do circuit race, which I didn't want to do. So it looks like that we're going to go up over the mountain, which I'm really excited about.
And then the key question of the day. So, Mike, why are you excited?
I just, you know, I got sick the first couple days and I've been sitting at the back a lot and I'm starting to feel better and kind of want to, it's embarrassing sitting at the back, so I kind of want to take a dig at the front if I can.
Well, Mike, no matter whether you're on the front today or you're in the back or you're in the middle, people are not going to miss finding you because of that very distinctive kit that you all are wearing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, you know, if you have one sponsor like we do, they take a lot more liberties with the design and they can give you a lot more cutting edge and whatnot. And with other teams, you have to put four or five different sponsors and they're pretty conservative sponsors. So, I mean, I don't know if it's so much making a statement as much as it is just the state of cycling where Michael Ball can take creative license and make something that looks really nice. It seems to be, seems that everybody really likes it.
Well, let's talk about today's final stage from Santa Clarita to Pasadena. And at the beginning of the day, as you heard in some of those pre-race interviews, there was talk that there might not be an entire stage from Santa Clarita to Pasadena. In fact, there was the chance that it might just be a circuit race in Pasadena like it was last year in downtown Long Beach. The reason for that, up at the top of the mountains in the Angeles National Forest at Mill Creek Summit, possibility of flurries and some extremely severe weather. But by the time racing began, the organizers had decided that it was indeed safe enough. So as the riders headed out of Santa Clarita with wet roads, and you could see it on the cameras on television, and you could see it all over the riders wearing as many clothes as they possibly could, they started to head up toward Acton and then up into the Angeles National Forest and Mill Creek Summit. Well, almost as soon as the riders left the neutral zone out on Bokeh Canyon in Santa Clarita today, just after passing the kilometer zero mark, signifying that racing had begun, the attacks begun. And it started with Rock Racing's Doug Olerenshaw. And although he did not stay in the break, his teammate, the guy we were just talking to, Michael Creed from Rock Racing, did end up in that break, and he stayed away for much of the day. Also in the break, Jason McCartney from Team CSC, Yannick Talabardon from Crédit Agricole, Oliver Zog from Gerolsteiner, Dimitri Champion from Bouygues Telecom, Danny Pate from Slipstream, and George Hincappy from Team High Road. Also up there, Taylor Tollison from BMC and Rory Sutherland from HealthNet Maxis. Also, Tom Zirbel from Team Bissell. Now, this break continued on up to the top of the King of the Mountains climb, and it seemed that that was okay with Team Astana, who was controlling the peloton right at the front. And while the break got up to about 3 minutes, soon some chasers began to go after the break, and that included Victor Hugo Pena from Rock Racing, Robert Gesink from Rabobank, Thomas Peterson from Team Slipstream Chipotle. Later on, they were joined by Peterson's teammate, Dave Zabriskie. And at this point, Team Astana was not happy with who was down the road, and they started to pick up the pace. Meanwhile, up front, Creed decided to take off on his own and opened up a lead in front of the chasing break. Shortly after taking the maximum points at the top of the KOM, Creed was reeled in, and then the riders headed down what turned out to be a very long, very steep at some points, and very twisting downhill that included some fog and some tunnels. One of those is the one that you heard Freddy Rodriguez talk about earlier, causing him and a number of other riders to hit the pavement. By the time the racers reached the finishing circuits and the sprint in Pasadena, Jason McCartney from Team CSC was the one to take the maximum sprint points, thereby helping his teammate JJ Hayato, and then the attacking among the break began. Soon it was Zirbel, Hincappy, Sutherland, and McCartney all off the front for the majority of those five finishing circuits in Pasadena, including at the end Mike Creed racing up to join them to try to gain a stage victory. In the end, however, in the final kilometer, the break was caught, and today's stage was won by American and Team High Road member George Hincappy. Second place in today's stage did go to Rory Sutherland from Team HealthNet. Third, Jason McCartney from Team CSC. Fourth, to Michael Creed from Rock Racing. Fifth, to Tom Zerbel from Bissell. Sixth, Mark Cavendish, the first to cross the line yesterday, but not yesterday's stage leader. Seventh went to J.J. Hayato from Team CSC. Eighth, Dominique Roland from Toyota United. Ninth, Tom Bonin from Quickstep. And 10th, to Mario Cipollini, Michael Creed's teammate on Rock Racing. So at the end of a week's worth of racing, it is Levi Leipheimer who wins the general classification and the final golden jersey in the 2008 Amgen Tour of California. Second place went to David Miller from Team Slipstream Chipotle, 49 seconds back. Christian Vandevelde from Slipstream Chipotle, 1 minute, 8 seconds back, was in third place. Fourth, Fabian Cancellara from Team CSC, 1 minute, 18 seconds back. Fifth went to Gustav Larsson from Team CSC, 1 minute, 19 seconds back. Sixth, Dave Zabriskie from Slipstream Chipotle, 1 minute, 36 seconds back. Seventh, Chris Horner from Team Astana, 2 minutes, 7 seconds back. Eighth went to Jürgen Vandewall from Quickstep, 2 minutes and 11 seconds back. Ninth, our best young rider, Robert Gesink from Team Rabobank, 2 minutes and 18 seconds back. And in 10th place, 2 minutes 27 seconds back from Team BMC, it's Alexander Moes. For the green sprinter's jersey, first place went to Dominique Roland from Toyota United Pro Cycling Team with 44 points, followed closely behind by J.J. Hayato from Team CSC with 42, and third place went to Gerald Ciolek from Team High Road, 32 seconds back. The King of the Mountains, as we mentioned earlier, was Scott Nidham from Team BMC with 26 points. Second place to Jürgen Vandewall from Team Quickstep, 19 points. And with 17 points, our best young rider in third place for the King of the Mountains jersey, Robert Gesink from Team Rabobank. Again, our best young rider, Robert Gesink from Team Rabobank. Second place went to Tom Peterson from Team Slipstream Chipotle. And third, Kevin Seal-Dryers from Team Quickstep. Well, we had a chance to catch up with Mike Creed after the race today, just like we did before the race today. We wanted to find out just a little bit more about his effort, pretty much from start to finish in today's race. Remember, he told us he was planning on taking a flyer today, and so we wanted to know how that felt, what it looked like, and how that last 10K must have felt for him.
Oh, the last 10K was really rough. I mean, you know, George and J-Mac, they're a class above the rest, so and I don't think my fitness is very good right now, so I was definitely in a bit above my head for that last 10K, but it was kind of just, it was one of those things, it was like, all right, you know, they might beat me, they'll probably beat me, but like, I'm gonna go down swinging, you know, like, they're gonna have to breathe hard to do it, so you know, like Rory and I kind of just told him, like, you know, hey, you're the Pro Tour guys, like, you're the best guys, so, you know, we're not going to pull in between the climbs. You're going to have to pull because you didn't want to get dropped in the climbs or whatnot. So, yeah, it was definitely a couple gut check moments out there that would have been easy to quit, but just kind of held it out.
Well, we wanted to know whether or not Mike was selling himself short. Yes, those are the Pro Tour guys, but he had a monumental effort today. He's got to be proud of the work that he did.
No, I mean, I was really motivated, you know, like, I mean, this morning I was just bouncing off the walls, you know, I was ready to go, you know, and we made that first break and I could tell it was going to get caught and I was kind of pissed. So we hit the first climb and I just went as hard as I could from top to bottom and I turned around and it was a new break with different guys. So, I mean, I didn't know how they got there, where the other guys went, but I really wasn't arguing, you know. I just kept on. I was just relieved to be in a breakaway.
Then we had the opportunity to hear from George Hincappy, today's stage winner, on what it was like in those last few kilometers of today's race before he took the victory.
As soon as we came onto the circuits, it was really hard. Everybody was attacking. And it seemed like the majority of the breakaway was putting the responsibility on me to chase everything down. So I decided at that point that you know, even if I wasn't the freshest at the end, that I was going to try to keep it together no matter what. And I had Alan Piper in the car telling me that, it was really up to me. It was my responsibility. And I knew that Rory and Jason were the strongest guys. So figured if I kept them in check and we kept Tom Zerbel at a decent enough gap that, I had a chance. So it was a really tough finish. The last 30 kilometers were really, really difficult. And I'm just glad it worked out for me.
George was asked how he feels racing here, what the future of this race is, and he was also asked to talk a little bit about the conditions that everyone encountered here at the Tour of California in 2008.
I think the future of this race is limitless. The crowds are awesome. The race is really well organized. All the European guys love it. It might be a bold statement, but I say the future of cycling is in races like this, and we really enjoy doing these races, and I'm proud to be part of it. I'm proud to have won 3 stages in this race in the last 3 years, and I'm really proud to be part of Team High Road. I think we had a great race this week under the circumstances. We had a bunch of guys sick. I had a really bad crash. But we ended the race as best as possible. Today was cold. It wasn't as cold as Thursday, but it was pretty cold coming down to the sand. But as soon as we got into the circuits, it was a race on. I mean, it was really aggressive, really aggressive. As soon as we crossed the line with 6 laps to go, and we warmed up pretty quick.
And finally, of course, we get to hear from the race winner, 2-time winner, 2 times consecutively, from Levi Leipheimer from Team Astana. Now, last year, of course, he did it in different colors, but this year he did it in just as much style and perhaps in much more difficulty. And the question was, Levi, it's your second win. Is this one more special to you?
I think so, because I think the theme of this year's Tour of California was the caliber of the peloton and the amount of stars that we had in the race, and that's really what makes the race so great. You know, I mean, I'm sitting next to Mario Cipollini, David Miller, Christian Vandeveld. We have Fabian Cancellara, world time trial champion, Paolo Bettini, world road champion, Tom Boonen, world champion a couple years ago. I mean, yeah, Oscar Freire, the list goes on. And we have all the stars here in California. So for me to win the race is unbelievable. I told Fabian after the time trial, the reason this win is so special to me and it makes it, in my mind, a great win for myself and Team Astana is because the competitors are so great. I mean, you're only as good as your competitors, and I think the peloton really made this race a special edition.
Well, for those of us at the Fredcast Cycling Podcast and for our friends at Bicycle.net, I think what perhaps made this a special edition was the partnership that we formed in creating this show for you every single day of the race, and also in you, the listeners. It's you who make this a special edition, and it's you that we do this show for, and we want to thank you for joining us for our week-long coverage. As we said at the beginning, we would be riding with you from Palo Alto to Pasadena. We've now done it. We've still got a little bit more audio to share with you, and we'll be doing that over the next couple of days. But in the meantime, this is David Bernstein from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast saying thank you for joining us and coming with us down the beautiful roads and highways and byways and mountains and coastlines of the beautiful state, the Golden State of California. We look forward to bringing you this coverage again next year from the 2009 edition of the Amgen Tour of California. Until then, this is David Bernstein signing off and saying thank you for being with us for this year's edition of the 2008 Amgen Tour of California. So long. That's it for today's episode of the Daily Tour Podcast. If you'd like to comment on the show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com or send a voicemail to area code 435-258-6373. That's 435-258-6FRED. Please check out our website at www.thefredcast.com for more information about the Fredcast, the Daily Tour, and much more. I'll see you all again soon for another episode of the Daily Tour Podcast, presented by the Fredcast, powered by the resources of Bicycle.net, and brought to you by Fredcast Tours. Thanks for listening.